Yo, what's up? We got on this episode, we got Aling on Mitra. Here we discuss, do women hunt like men? How women spot a creep? Are men emotional? Do women control their emotion? Aziz Ansari situation, we went revisited that. And how much should we be aware of women being uncomfortable?
That's
this is
right.
A real dope one. Real conversation went in a
That's
lot
right.
of really
also,
funky places.
And also, don't forget, please, go do the Patreon if you can. Do the Patreon if you can, guys. It really means a lot. We're going to continue with Aling on Patreon as we talk about how social media has affected society, Dave Chappelle, the Proud Boys, cancel culture. Definitely, the Patreon helps us out a lot. So go to patreon.com/manschool202.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. What's going on, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? Sexual Revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited.
Nice.
We about to rock and roll. Harry, how you feeling, baby? You good?
I'm doing great, man.
Love being in the studio. Love being in the studio. My bad.
Yeah, how dare you?
I'm sorry.
You're lucky I'm in a forgiving mood. Otherwise, I'd leap over there.
What?
I don't know. We'll see.
You want to do the introduction?
Hey, man. This guy, I'm excited to meet this dude. Good energy off this dude. Young up-and-comers, and usually we don't like the young up-and-comers until they,
that's you. That's
they've
you.
Earned it.
Do that on your own shit.
Nah, you're every other day. Don't give me that shit. It depends. But the fantastic Aling on... I messed it up.
It's over now. I'm leaving.
I fucked it up. Aling on Mitra, everybody.
Aling on Mitra.
Hello.
Give it up for him, yo.
Mitra.
Hello. There you go. Got the applause.
What's going on, bro?
How
you doing?
Oh, bro. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's a tough name.
Yeah. I thought
really.
Harry Turjanian was a tough name. It's
very
good. It takes a couple reps.
Well, you say it exactly the way it's spelled.
Right.
So that's the tricky part, but I feel like everybody wants to add a little flair to it, and then they get
a little flair.
Gets a little hiccup.
They put a little bit of oomph on it.
Yeah.
A little stink on your hang down.
Yeah, a stink on your hang down.
Lincoln, what's going on, bro? How you been, man?
I'm good. I'm happy
to
be here, man.
It's good to see you, man. We worked together a couple of times.
It's interesting. Yeah. I feel like we've crossed paths, but we haven't really.
Yeah. It just never really kicked in and stuff. You were a Boston dude initially, Boston comic initially.
That's right.
Coming down to the Mecca.
That's right.
Boston's a good.
What is that? What's playing in the background? Oh, I know what's playing in the background.
What's
Hold
playing?
On.
This podcast.
Oh, you're playing.
An older version of this podcast.
This is a great song.
That's not
great.
Hold on.
What the fuck?
It's a little intimidating. If I don't do well enough, we're going to start putting on another podcast.
We'll fade you out.
There we go.
This isn't really going well. Let's put on episode 204.
What do we do with that?
Hold on. I'll take care of that right now. We just... Booyah.
Booyaka. Delete. There it is.
Okay, we're still recording on the Zoom. We're on the cameras. There we go. So we could keep going. Yeah, sorry, I didn't want another podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
but with our own podcast.
In my own.
How narcissistic are these guys?
Yeah. We're just like, we play our own podcast
during the podcast.
How narcissistic. There's a logo of Dante's face in the middle, and then he's wearing a t-shirt with his face on it.
I didn't even put that there.
You didn't put that there?
Oh, I didn't even dress myself. Somebody let my clothes out.
Dante's wearing his face on his logo that you wore while you drove your truck.
With your face on it. I mean, should I put yours?
That's true.
Good point.
But then you're like, man, somebody vandalized my truck. How did they know?
How did they know? Somebody spit on my face once.
Oh, jeez. On the logo.
Which
not
one?
On my truck.
Okay. On my truck. They wouldn't have spit on my shirt.
Right.
Yeah, that'd have been not good at all. So,
did you see them spit, or
went
to the
truck?
No,
I saw it. I came and I saw it. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's fucking weird. Dude used to do dirty shit to my truck. Like, they would take dog shit and put it on the handle.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm a great guy.
That's premeditated. That's not
that wasn't a crime of opportunity. Yeah. No.
I
got the dog shit.
Thought this is a really extensive hatred that you would pick
that's
up
true.
Dog
right,
shit.
Right.
Like, who fucking does that? Like,
yeah. And it also, like, you know, then they have to deal with their own hand.
Yeah,
they got gloves.
It's really
Yeah.
But, it's a funny thing. So in the show, we talk about relationships, male-female relationships, male-male-female, whatever, whatever dynamic it is, because we've expanded our scope of understanding. And what's interesting is I start to look at things on such a larger level in terms of where I would normally take things really personal. And I not to say I wouldn't really still cracks in my skull. That's still I still got, but I understand why people do things. So
okay,
moreover than not,
why people do things in what sense?
Just why people do dirty shit and why they fuck with you and whatever. Most of the times, it has nothing to do with you.
Sure,
personally. Right. It's personal insecurities.
I agree. I agree with that.
But you were going to say, go ahead.
Well, for the most part, but this is like, this has something to do with what they felt about you, right? They're not. It's not a random attack. They're not doing this to every girl.
Well, jealousy may not have something.
No, but it is. It is a. It's something that I represent. Like I'll tell you when the alt scene really started, and Harry can testify to this.
Sure.
When I would do the alt scene, and I would go,
you'd smear feces on their car.
Well, a lot of those dudes were like, they're kind of nerdy dudes.
Sure, yeah.
And so to them, I look like the guy who stuffed them in a locker, and which wasn't me at all, but the representation
of that.
You wore
that uniform, unfortunately, to their
game. Yeah, and so costume. When I would do their rooms, they would not want to. Remember we did
that? Oh, jeez, I was there. Yeah. Bell House in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I was doing this thing about the differences. You know,
men and women.
The differences in men, because I'm cutting edge kind of comic. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
women do this, men do that.
It was more women. We don't love you. We like you, and then we love you, and then it was stuff
the
about
way
how
we
how
fall
marriage,
in love. Yeah,
how we have to listen to your goofy stories, like the
just
sacrifices
that
we have
so
to make.
So much you do in the context of in the pursuit of women.
Okay.
Where they sit on the throne and just kind of go thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay,
because we are the pursuant.
Okay,
you know, and as men, we're kind of taught to be the pursuant.
Sure,
and so
with that
women
comes a lot of responsibility,
and women don't really. That's why women don't like they don't handle the rejection of their kind of emotional rejection. They don't handle it because they just don't do it more often. It's sort of like when men hunt and women trap.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Do you feel like so a woman, she gets dressed, she looks nice, and she goes at the bar. That's her jam.
Okay.
Know?
Okay.
And then suitors come, and then she goes, no, yes, yes. Whereas we actively pursue.
Okay.
I always felt like it was more men hunt, women shop. Kind of thing, because even the trapping is more.
Yeah, but
they get to be more selective.
Fair enough. Fair
you know
enough.
What I mean,
fair enough.
Like,
and then when they are really interested and aggressively go at a guy, which I mean, not saying that that doesn't happen as well, they're just really not equipped to do it because it's not what you do.
They haven't practiced it.
Right. So
okay.
It's like I have a whole thing. Huh?
So, like for example, my girl, the way I met her was she slid into the DMs, right?
Yeah.
So her recollection of the story is that, you know, you didn't really answer me. You're kind of ignoring me, or like I was throwing it out there. Like I put it on a silver platter.
And you had no idea.
And I go, no, you didn't. Like to her, it's a silver platter.
Right.
Because to a woman saying, hey, and
hey,
how you doing? It's like, hey, that's me letting you know. Like, no, that's not a silver platter.
That's you saying hello. Especially
that's saying
at a
hello.
Time when you need to be respectful about what her boundaries are and not making an assumption that simply because she said hello,
right,
that it's a green light.
Which is
when,
how I
when
felt.
Was this? When
3 years ago?
3 years ago. Okay.
Three or four
yeah,
years
why
ago.
You were thinking it was.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, pre-Me Too, post-Me Too, I feel like there's a little bit of a...
I still think even before Me Too, it's still just going hello and hey and conversing is not putting it on a silver platter. You know what I mean? That's...
Sliding into a DM is it's a little bit... What was the context?
All right, so here's how it started.
Yeah.
First, I got little likes, a lot of likes.
She was a stranger to you?
She was a stranger.
Never met her.
Never
she was
met
in Cali.
Okay.
Just
and
a listener of the show.
Okay.
Likes. Likes here, likes there, like there. All right, yeah. Cool, whatever. But that's not the first time that's happened. That's an indicator of interest.
Plus, in fact, we've been doing the podcast for 9 years.
Yeah. Okay. I got a lot of likes.
So we're talking about many listeners, many people. Oh, love what you do, blah, right. blah, 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 you know, and... But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But just a lot of likes. Then like comments on the pictures like, hey, great show. And then a DM about like the show.
Okay.
Not, hey, I'm interested.
Okay.
And again, that's showing interest for sure. So now my interest is up. My instinct goes, I think she might be into me because nobody.
Yeah. No, but it's still fuzzy.
I remember when you said that too. Yeah. I think this is girl. She might be.
Yeah, yeah. She might be interested in me, right?
I will say also, you weren't as equipped to read the subtext then as you are now.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. But when I look back on it, I was conversing
with
her.
What were the pictures that she was like?
Just show pictures.
Okay.
They weren't like thirst traps. I don't do thirst traps. Wow. Yeah. Not anymore.
Sometimes you do a crop top every once in a while.
I will wear
hot shorts.
I will wear short shorts and go missing the summer beach in the middle of winter with my cheeks hanging out a little
and
bit.
And sometimes you'll have your G-string will hang out the top.
I hate Mondays, you know, one of those. But then we were conversing, but about the show and what she liked. And mm-hmm. Her version was, oh, I brought something up. And you go, oh, I don't remember that. Like, I gave her the Heisman. And it wasn't the Heisman. I go, wow, I don't remember that. That's so funny, but I don't remember that.
Right.
In her head, like, oh, you blew me off. I was putting it on the silver platter. I'm like, that's not what happened.
That's not, mm-hmm. and that's
at
not
all
silver
what happened.
Platter.
Now, for a woman, that's a silver platter.
Right.
I stood next to you the whole night.
Right.
Where, you know, I was making it obvious.
But also, I will tell you something. We on the show, we have this thing. Where we call it the proximity rule.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the proximity rule is, you know, that situation when you're at a party and then every time you look up, this woman is staring you in the face.
Okay.
And it not intentionally, but somehow.
Yeah, you guys are making eye contact.
Yeah, and you don't mean to. It's not like she's giving it, but it's just you look up. Well, that is an indicator of interest. Because of the fact that you have to put it in perspective of how would she respond if she thought you were a creep? Like if she thought you were a creep, you would never make eye contact with her. She would be totally unavailable for you. If you would be searching her out for the party. If she thought you were a big enough creep, she would leave the party.
Right.
And so. You know, one of the things that we talk about is the empathy of men to understand the context in the context of how women have to operate based on the fact that they're making themselves available to you could mean their life. They could die.
Mm-hmm.
You pick the wrong guy and you pick up the wrong signals.
It's over.
You could end up raped or you could end up dead.
Yeah, you're in a trunk.
Any number of things.
Yeah.
And that's not something that we as men really think about. I mean, we dream about it, but we don't think about it. And so the same is true that if somebody's not interested in you, you will not see them at all. You'll never make eye contact.
Yeah.
And if you do, it'll be like, you know, like the communication is clear. To the same token, even a passive kind of availability is not a green light, but it is, oh, I could, let's see, you know, here's a shot. Let me see what you got.
So, so it's unless it's an active no. It could be a yes. Is that
yes.
is that right?
Yes.
She's not saying.
I want to fuck this guy.
But it could
but she's
be
going,
a yes.
This is you know, and there's an interest. You disagree?
I don't. Well, I guess it depends on the context. I could see a situation where it's like, you know, we're all in a group together. Everybody knows each other. I'm not into this person, but this group is a good group. So that's why we happen to be in the same. In that proximity.
Yeah, well, I'm saying this is a straight. Like you're at a party.
Okay.
Well, here's an even. So, if the comfort of the group is more, how should I? What word am I looking for?
Friendly.
More friendly. Yeah. More casual.
Chummy.
More casual in terms of you know each other, whatever. Then you'll find there'll be physical contact. A touch on the shoulder and an engagement, a level up of engagement. Do you understand what I mean?
To indicate what?
This could I might be interested.
Oh.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I hear ya. You have female friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do they do the physical touch in that way with you when you guys are hanging?
No.
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 Okay.
But when you're talking about me, it's a little bit different because I give off a really not an unsafe energy, mm-hmm. but a very masculine energy where it goes like, oh,
it's very clear that you're interested sexually.
He would fuck me.
Right. Okay.
Right. So
it's not a lot platonic about.
Right. Now,
yeah.
If she sees you, if she's unintimidated, she sees you as a friend,
well,
and she finds you safe, like okay. almost so safe that you're unattractive, not unattractive, but friend zone safe.
Yeah.
Then she'll do that. They'll do. You'll find that.
That's
kind of
interesting. I mean, then maybe I've learned something about myself because I've got female friends.
Right.
And I think it's not like they are actively trying to like indicate interest.
Right. Right.
I think there any physical contact that comes is just because that's like their nature. I'm pretty clear about like, oh, we are friends, so it's okay. Like there
isn't. They do know when to shut that down. That nature. Yeah, down,
yeah.
Though,
that,
if you're being creepy.
I don't think women.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
I don't think women have a specific like I find that, and I mean at the risk of making these generalizations, women are much more malleable in terms of their friendships. So they'll have friends that they hang out at the club. They'll have friends that they'll go to weddings with. They'll have friends that they'll, talk shit to. They'll have friends that they'll, like...
You're talking female friends?
Female friends.
Okay.
They'll have an array, whereas what I find to be the case is I don't find that my male friends are malleable. Like, there's a dude who's a dickhead. He's a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
He's my friend, but we know he's a dickhead. And if he's cheap, we all know he's cheap.
You're saying women, their friends are malleable?
They have malleable, they're very malleable in terms of the friends. They have different categories of friends.
Right. They have different categories of friends. Like, this is the girl I talk to about sex stuff. This is the friend I go shopping with.
Right, this is the chick I get drunk with. This is the one I go party with. This is the one I get lit. I turn up with.
This is the fun one. This is the more subdued one.
Like, whatever it is.
Okay.
Because I feel like guys don't have that as much.
No, guys are kind of like, these are my friends.
These are my boys.
This is what he is.
These are my boys.
We ride completely.
Guys have,
in everything.
Even if I don't like him half the time.
We have bros or acquaintances. That's it. You're like, very few. There's an inner circle. No.
I feel like maybe I'm a woman then because I definitely categorize my friends more so. Like I like with comedy, for the most part, those are like my comedy people.
Yeah.
I've got maybe one or two that'll circle outside of that.
Right.
But for the most part, these are like the comedy friends and they're the people I like to hang with to have like a fun time. But then when I'm talking like more deep about stuff or like
here's what I mean. Not that we don't have friends that you just don't do things. Like, there's certain people that I just wouldn't... Like, we were talking about the Church of England.
Yeah.
And there's dudes I'm just not going to have that conversation with. Not that...
But isn't that categorizing them?
No, that is... It's just I know that conceptually this is not going to work. Like, women will have specific groups of friends for different things. Specifically, they'll know, and not in a sense that this person is incapable, but they create certain dynamics of friends that they go to for certain different things.
But like you don't have friends where you're like, okay, if I'm gonna watch a game, like these are the people who are into sports, they're into the game, and then these are the people who, oh, let's I'm going to a museum. These are like more the museum people, like that categorization.
I will have guys that just I would just never ask to the museum, but my friends, my circle of friends, are the same friends. Not to say that I create like for instance, a chick that I was dating, she has turn up friends,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and then she has
intellectual friends,
very specific ideas of what it is and sought out to create those groups.
Do you think also it's because women have more friends?
That's the thing. Women don't have more friends.
Oh.
They call friends. They have
though.
People that they call friends.
Okay.
But, like, I don't... I think it's interesting. I always say this. I've never heard anybody. I've never heard the terminology "a woman of her word."
Okay.
I've heard "man of their word," and yeah. I understand that we're supposed to. This is all fluid, and everybody's and I totally get that.
What
but
about
I'm,
for women who'd say that men lie constantly?
But women of her word. What's the reason you bring that up?
But the reason why I bring that up is because there's a standard. Even if we don't meet that standard,
there's an expectation.
There's an expectation of being a man of your word, that you give your word.
I think it's the other way.
What do you mean?
I think the only reason you have to say it's a man of his word is because the assumption is this guy's
most
not of his word.
Most people are
so
not
that's
of
why
their
you
word.
Gotta be like, oh, this is you gotta specify this is a man of his word. Whereas women, you don't say that because it's your assumption is, oh, they're going to be.
Oh, absolutely not. Women are never. They maintain the ability to have to change their mind and be fickle. I mean, if you think of it like this, mm-hmm. The Me Too movement about no means no until I say no is the whole point of this ability of malleability, like the fact that I could suck your dick and hang out with you, make out with you, and then go, this doesn't feel right. And then we are supposed to respect that, which I don't have a problem with that.
Uh-huh.
But a dude that, if a dude is fucking some awful pig uh-huh. and he's in the game, he's going to the finish line. He's not slamming on the brakes going, I mean, if Big J had this joke about, he goes, look, you know how many times I went down on a girl and she smelt, her pussy smelt awful. And he goes, as a man, you know what you do? You hold your nose and you finish the job. And that's, and I think there's a definite thing to this because there's an expectation for us to not allow this kind of emotional fickleness. And because of that, now I'm not saying, I don't think that guys are in any way, shape, or form more loyal, but I think there is a format that is expected of us in terms of you being a man of your word. If you say something, it's a handshake and it's a deal. The prevalence of that expectation is not the same with women. That's what I would say.
Well, okay, so with the emotional fickleness, right?
Yeah.
Has there been a case where somebody's done something that's turned you off emotionally, but you stayed, because I think that's like the.
If I give my word, I'm finishing.
Right, right.
Now, unless there's a breach of
brain, but the brain has been like, oh, this is a turnoff, but physically, I'm not gonna stop, right? Because that I agree with the guys.
Yeah.
We're hardwired.
Right,
and
right.
That. But our brains might still be like, I'm not as into this.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But then it becomes about...
But the difference isn't the emotional response. The difference is in the physical. Because the girl will be like, look, I'm emotionally off, but I'm also physically going to stop now, right?
Yes.
Whereas the guy can be like, I'm emotionally off, but I'm not going to physically stop.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right. But my point is, like, it's not emotionally fickle then, because the guy and the girl both have the same emotional reaction. It's how it manifests physically that's the difference.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I think, like, that's what I mean by there's an expectation for you not to, like, there's an expectation for you. There's certain things, there's certain male expectation that you should. Now, do guys follow through with that? Or do I know guys? There's not a lot of guys that I would say are men of their word. In fact, most. But what I'm saying is the expectation of the pressure to do that. I mean, best way I can put it is like, I grew up a frat boy. I pledged Omega Psi Phi fraternity, and I've been in the frat for 35 years. I just had my anniversaries, 35 years in the frat. Now, the image of that fraternity is like we were like the Animal House dudes, the wild dudes,
right?
Right.
Right.
A lot of the dudes ain't wild dudes, but based on the framework of what they're supposed to be within the fraternity, that they're living up to that expectation, or at least making an attempt to live up to that expectation, even though they're not.
Like, they don't really drink heavy or go party but go, hard, yeah. But because they are in the frat, they would do those things.
Yeah. It's funny because there's a dude I know that, it's funny, I was talking about this the other day. There's a dude I know that's there's a cop who actually basically abused, snatched two kids out of a car and tased them in Atlanta during the BLM.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And so,
which side of that are you on?
we'll get to that later. It's nuance. Uh-huh. You want me to?
No.
And so there was always, like a lot of my frat brothers was throwing in bail money because mm-hmm. the dude was from our chapter. Mm-hmm. And they were throwing, he's gonna, da, 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 he's a good bruh. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, he's a good bruh to us because the social pressure of the fraternity is there. And so he it almost not being good to us goes against the expectation of being a frat brother. Does that make sense?
Okay, I do. I get that.
But he's a dirtbag.
Right.
And he's a dirtbag. And what I say is that the actions of what he did and the ease in which he did it mm-hmm. was so heinous, mm-hmm. right? Snatched a girl and a guy, young girl, a guy out, pulled him out, dislocated dude, tased him several times. Somebody, another cop screamed, gun. This was right during the BLM protest, right? Mm-hmm. And my frat brothers goes, he's a good guy. And I go, he's not a good guy. Mm-hmm. Nah, anytime you want something, he got you. If he always buys drinks. Yeah, and I said to him, I would bet you $1,000 that if we looked into his background, mm-hmm. he would have 20 excessive force complaints.
Okay.
Extensively, because at the core of what he is this abusive person.
Okay.
And the fact that he acts out of character, which is really the kindness of his acting out of character, which is kindness, okay. as opposed to brutality, which is at the core of what he is. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I guarantee you there's been all kinds of traumatic things that he's gone through.
Yeah.
Hurt people. I get it.
Right.
But what I'm saying, just in the microcosm of that, he's a great bruh, but he's not.
Okay.
And at the core, but the pressure of the fraternity makes him be a great bro. I'll give you an example. If you're in my frat and a guy comes into town and he needs a place to stay, you're supposed to, somebody says, yo, my man, you're supposed to put him up.
Okay.
Right? If he's a thief, he'll come in your house and he will not steal.
Right.
That doesn't make him not a thief. The okay. point is the pressure of the fraternity,
yeah.
the social, the agency that watches over him says that he can't be his true self. And so he acts not like a thief, uh-huh. even though he's a thief. Does that make sense?
I get that.
Okay, so let's talk about, so there's this expectation as we have these expectations of being a man. I'm a man of my word. I mean, we both know that is shit. Most people are not. Mm-hmm. But under the expectation of that, they act in the context of that, even though they're not, based on the expectation of, in order for me to be a man, I need to be a man of my word.
Okay.
Even though it may be shit in every other situation, when confronted about this, you know, the system, the things that we perceive manhood as bravery and providing and this,
yeah.
even though we might not be built like that, on the outside, the expectation is that, and so we act that way when people are watching.
Right. Okay.
Even underneath that, they don't.
Okay. Okay.
You feel what I'm saying?
I hear. I guess my question is, because you were saying this is what men do, but you don't feel that women.
No, I think women are exactly the same in the context, but the expectation mm-hmm. of them being able to change their mind is accepted. The expectation of them being, I think men are just as fickle as women in the context, and just as dirtbaggy, and even in a lot of cases more so.
Uh-huh.
But the expectation is not that, and so there becomes this facade that people are trying to be, even though they're not, when people are looking, when the agency is watching. Whereas the agency of the fickleness of women is allowed, even though it's not. I mean, like, look, you have guys all the time that get married,
yeah,
and then they run around and cheat on their wife all the time.
Right.
Which is not a man of your word.
Right.
You know, a man of your word would be to say, listen, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I do, yeah, and I like you, and I'd love to marry you, but this is ultimately going to be how I respond.
Uh-huh.
But most people don't feel as though they can even be their true self because they want to be in a situation that they don't really believe that they deserve to be in the first place.
You've said in the past, you women have integrity amnesia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That goes along.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about that in a while. Expand on that a little bit. Expand?
Well, it's just, I just don't think there's the pressure to do. Look, man, I mean, you and I know in this business, I've been in this business, and dudes have been way shittier to me
than women. Yeah.
Than women, absolutely.
I prefer a woman boss or prefer a woman.
The difference is, the expectation of that fickleness is okay for a woman, where the expectation for a man is not that, even if he is that. I don't see any difference in the behavior. I'm just saying the expectation of what it is.
Would you say that men don't get emotional? Because I think we say that women get emotional, and I know it affects their decision. In my dating history, the emotions at the time have drastically affected the decision.
But it's a weird thing because
or the perspective.
Women usually are not fighting because of somebody cut them off. Dudes do that, which is not controlling your emotion.
Right.
So somehow, if your anger, not controlling your anger, is specifically masculine, which means you're not fickle, right?
But
it's read that way.
Yeah.
And then a woman changing her mind about a dude is perceived as fickle, which I'm saying is unequal. Like, emotion is emotion. Anger is an emotion.
Yeah.
And emotion fickle about what I want or what I decide or changing my mind is also emotion.
Right.
So there's a human fickleness. I think the way we perspectively, the expectation is different.
So you're saying, but in like certain contexts, a man can be fickle because the expectations are he's allowed to be fickle. In the case of like a car,
anger,
you can be fickle there.
Dudes fighting at bars, fuck you, bro. But that, which is just as like that is just being angry and out of control is the same as the Aziz thing, where this chick goes home with him, blows him in the kitchen. Goes on the couch, blows him on the couch, and then leaves, and then later decides, awkward, and then goes.
Well, I don't know if it was later decides.
What do you mean?
In that case, you're saying she might have felt that way at the time.
I think,
expressed it.
I mean, that's a whole bag of worms. But that article was written as garbage, so it's really hard to decipher what happened there. But
right.
I read it a couple times because it was such an interesting thing to me, and. In it, if we take her for her word, what she says happens, like, you know, there was the initial stuff. But then he asked her, like, are you okay? She didn't respond. And then they went back on the couch. Or she was, like, tearing up one thing or the other, right? Where it was like, okay, we'll just stay on the couch, right? And then they reinitiated. At that time, it was okay, right? So my guess is she wasn't okay with it even prior, right?
That's an assumption.
Well, that's what she's saying.
I'm so
lost. She's saying that now.
I don't think it was like in the moment, I do think she didn't feel comfortable. She didn't express it, in my opinion.
Okay,
and with the clarity.
So here's my
but
here's
I don't
my,
think it happened after the
here's
fact.
My here's yeah. my question then. What is the responsibility of her to express her opinion clearly?
Yeah.
If it's something that she doesn't want to do. Does she get to not express it clearly, go back, blow him again, not express it clearly, then, because his response was, had a great time, so it was was oblivious to it, which I fault him for not.
I think we're going to have to look, because there was a point in which she said something that felt like, I'm not feeling okay. And they were like, all right, let's just
go and reread it.
We have to read it. Because there was definitely a point.
I don't remember. Man, you may be right. I can't, you know.
There was one point in it where I was like, up until this point, everything seems like, okay, it's miscommunication.
Sure.
But it's not anything that I thought Aziz was responsible for. If anything, I thought, you know, she had a more of a responsibility. But there was a point at which it felt like there was, like, somebody with proper sensitivity would have recognized something is not right here and would have followed up with, hey, is everything okay? I agree with you.
Well, I'll tell you this. There's a moment when he talks about he was sticking fingers in my mouth and she kind of like she's choking on the finger. Yeah. And he doesn't have the self-awareness to go, this.
That one I don't know. That one I think is like he was doing his move, which is his whatever.
This is his jam.
Whatever he wants. And if she was not comfortable with it, I don't know if she wasn't uncomfortable with it or whether she was comfortable with it.
She said she was uncomfortable after.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to
look
at this
thing. She did say.
I remember her putting that in
and
me thinking like, that's an unfair trait.
That's my point.
To put in there because it makes him seem predatory when in these type of things, you know,
Aziz, and Aziz is not a predatory. I mean, I'm not saying he can't have a predatory moment, but I don't know him to be a predatory. Not only
certainly
that, but
doesn't
his
have the reputation.
Yeah, his response was like, "Hey, I'd love to hook up." Like he was totally oblivious to.
Well, again, I wish I had to refresh the whole thing up until like a certain point. I thought everything was like. Even in the way she wrote it, which is, you know, it's not even like an impartial journalist.
Wasn't it written by a friend or something? It was written by somebody.
It wasn't written by
like
an official journalist. It was on babe.net, right?
Right, but it's still written by somebody else, if my recollection.
Okay.
If I remember, it wasn't written first, a friend wrote it or something like that. But maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah.
But we don't know enough. I don't want to.
Right.
Like,
but what I would say this, though, even in the context of somebody else writing it, maybe it not being. You still go, this dude wasn't being predatory. He might have been unaware or not self-aware of what was going on. Maybe he didn't have the ability to. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you gotta go. I didn't get, he apologized. He was like, I didn't know that wasn't. He was trying to hook up with her. He was trying to hang out with her again. Mm-hmm. So clearly, he didn't think that he was being predatory. And then he was surprised that it happened. And then he didn't get smashed because of it. Because when you look at it, you go, this is a miscommunication. I think.
When you say smash, like things didn't go well for him.
No. But there was a lot of people that kind of was like, this is one of those. You know what I mean? Like this is not Matt Lauer with the lock on his door. Do you know what I mean? Like this is not clear.
I forgot about
that's why
the
Matt
Lauer
lambasted.
Huh?
It really got It got lambasted by a lot of people.
Yeah, like come on.
There was also a lot of heat in that energy in that moment.
At the time, right? You mean at the time?
Yeah, exactly. So it was a hard one for people to have any kind of normal discussion about.
Right, but I think even though it was really a hot time, they were like, you know, even feminists were going like, come on, like you not.
I think there was a big divide between young and old in that response.
In what way?
Because I feel like those type of hookups are much more common in like an app generation,
okay,
where you are not as familiar with the person when you're hooking up with them,
okay,
and so the situations where you would find yourself in where you are needing to talk about these things as they're happening are more common than you would have in the past, because in the past people knew each other a little bit better, so if there was a discomfort.
No, I don't think that's true. No, absolutely not.
Right,
because
so I have the
you,
just so we
I mean,
have the text here.
Yeah.
Since we're still talking
we literally were. I grew up in that era.
Mm, yeah.
Like you went and got a 4-pack of Bottles and James wine coolers. Your thing was get drunk, grease the social wheels. I mean, that was the standard. I mean, if you look at the whole Anita Hill thing with Clarence Thomas, and you look at the questions that are being asked at that time, it's cringeworthy. Like, what? Who the fuck? Are you doing this so that you can write a book? Like,
It's just rough. Man.
Yeah, it's when you watch the footage. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm an old dude. I'm 50 years old. But it was cringeworthy to me, and it was there was progressiveness that I had to deal with on my own because it was the culture, and I'm not okay.
So which was I
what
I,
I'm
I
saying?
Know.
Men were awful.
Oh yeah,
this is what I'm saying.
But I'm saying the situations are much more common now. Where you have somebody who you don't know that well.
No, dude, you picked the chick up at a bar.
Yeah, maybe.
Anything,
I mean,
you might know more about them. I think because of internet, there's some reaction.
Yeah, because she has a. There's a whole. Yeah. Think about this. There's a whole.
Not much. I'm not saying.
There's
much,
a whole
but.
Security breach you have to get past. So you we're on a mat. We're on an app. I say something. You don't like what I say. You never hear from me again. Mm. So there's
a
whole another safety gate. Because of the fact that I can detect, I mean, there's some dudes that are great at getting past those things, but there's more steps because you have to get to the actual physical where you meet up and you talk, you know, whereas in the days you're in a bar, you're drinking, she's drinking, hey, you want to get out of here? Boom, you're in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't really dispute it. You lived it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just wasn't... And you're not necessarily talking about...
I mean, I was part of it right before phones and texting, and definitely I was dating before you had these apps and stuff, and it was trying to meet some
stranger.
Dude,
I had to ring a chick. I had to ring the phone. It was a house phone.
Yeah.
I had to ring the phone twice and hang up, ring it again, then she knew
Send
I was
a telegram.
Calling. Then she'd pick up the phone. Hey, what's up? Yo, come
why,
down.
Why that?
Huh?
Why did she have you do a secret ring?
Because if she was trying to get out and her parents didn't want her to get out.
Oh, I see.
I had to have there was a code on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And the phone wasn't her, it wasn't her cell phone. It was the family
phone. The house
phone.
Yeah,
it was the house phone. So
how did you meet her?
Party or on the
street?
In the
street?
In the street?
At a grocery store.
When you say in the street, it really does put it in perspective.
It was in the street. Hey, what's up, yo? What's your name? Like literally, like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then because, but you also
in
talk
the street about, is never a great.
In the
I
street.
I love it.
In
I love it.
Would you find this dog in the street?
In the street, not
did
even
you find
on
this
the street.
Not even
it's
in the street.
Like she was in an alley
somewhere. Yo,
in
what's
the
up?
Gutter.
What's up, you know?
Where you at? I'm in the street.
I will say this because of the, you know, I had a friend of mine who said, oh, it was all this hype, and then it was bullshit. And I was like, you're mistaking.
Yeah.
You don't know what you, look, you, if you're Matt Lauer now, not that you are, but you can't call the locksmith up. And say, yo, I need to get this button, you know. You can't. Even
I don't know how that one was ever. The guy who was installing that button must have been like, this is.
Dude, I'm
the guy
super
was,
villain.
You no, no, you could call up and say, I need a button to lock chicks in the room.
Well, I assume that wasn't on the order sheet. Needed the chick
I
lock.
I guarantee
room.
You there was a wink and a, hey, you know, I'm getting, I need to lock the door.
I get what it was I need a lock on my door. They know why. They know why the people who work with Matt Lauer. They call down to maintenance. Go install a digital whatever lock on the lock button on the door.
And he goes, "It's all done, sir." And he goes, "Ha ha!" You know, dog. I mean, do you understand? In order for that to exist, there had to be a culture that allowed that to exist.
No question. No question that was going on. I was saying these because it did seem like older women were saying like, "Oh, the responsibility." Falls on the woman to speak up in that moment, and younger women seem to be like the man should have known better. And my read on that was, younger women find themselves in this situation so much more often now than the older women found themselves in that situation.
Oh, no.
But responsibility should be on both.
Absolutely,
both of those things should be true. By
dude,
the way.
You got.
Well, yeah, you met her in the street.
I met her in the street. You want to get some wine coolers? Let's go. Yeah,
but that's
okay.
Still consensual. That's not really what we're talking about.
Dog,
I understand the intent back.
It
was
rapey
like,
dudes.
There were rapey dudes.
There was
no
rapey
doubt.
Dudes with the intent. Like, dude, I was a male stripper for 10 years. These dudes would just pull a chick into the back room.
Right.
But I think because dudes were also more aggressive and more rapey, women also were more careful about going in the back room. Mm. Like, if you knew you didn't, you
that
wasn't down.
I can't attest to like, that, but you would know better than
Yeah. I mean,
but I do think that there is a more of an awareness on both parties of that
sure,
going
the
down.
Sure, men have more of a responsibility because it's a because there's a consequence to it.
Right.
So I've always, and we talked about this, about police brutality, about racism.
It's not
about,
because men have become better.
No,
it's
there
because
is a
consequence.
I will say it is both. I think that people, I think there are things that I would have done in college that I still, as I look back on it now, I go, we were way off on that, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But I wasn't a rapey dude, but there were things that I would have done that I would not do now, and
sure,
I was always pretty, like, because I never, you know, I didn't want to fuck somebody that didn't want to fuck me. I mean, it's just, that's horrible. Like, mm-hmm. not just horrible for her, but it's hard. Like, what's
for
the point?
Involved, yeah.
If for everybody involved.
Right.
I think but the situations arise like this one where you think, oh, she's into it, and she isn't. That's what was going on here, apparently.
Yes,
right?
yes.
Like, I don't. Yeah, I mean, otherwise it's a psychopath who's like, I don't care about her.
But sometimes I guess psychopath is a great word because it's you don't give a fuck. You're not reading signals. You're not reading social signals.
So can I read the text here since I have it?
Yeah, go ahead.
As well, since this is the actual text, minus the article here. Aziz writes, hey, it was fun meeting you last night. I just dropped my roll of film today. Fingers crossed for some solid shots. I forget what it is. She writes back, hey, Aziz, nice meeting you, too. I hope you have some good shots on the roll. Last night might have been fun for you. It wasn't for me. When we got back to your place, you ignored clear nonverbal cues. You kept going with advances. You had to have noticed that I was uncomfortable. I just want to take this moment to make you aware of this behavior and how uneasy it made me. Really think back to last night. You may have said it's okay, only fun. If we're both, you may have said, it's okay, only fun if we're both enjoying it, let's just chill. But within moments of that, your fingers were down my throat. You were putting my hand on your dick continuously. And hold on, let me move this up here. Let's see. You were putting your hands, you're putting my hand on your dick continuously. It's like nothing changed even after I expressed that I'd like to slow it down. It may have seemed okay, but I didn't feel good at all. All day I've been playing it over in my head. I'm realizing how much it affected me. I want to make sure you're aware so maybe the next girl doesn't have to cry on the ride home. Good luck on your movie. Thank you for dinner. Aziz writes back, I'm so sad to hear this. All I can say is it would never be my intention to make you or anyone feel the way you described. Clearly I misread things in the moment, and I am truly sorry.
This is a guy who had no inkling. Like, he's going, hey, what's up? Hey, blah, 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 blah. He's talking, and then she hits him and you're like, what, how the fuck did that happen? I mean, I don't know. What's your thought?
So in general, I think, you know, if somebody's uncomfortable, the responsibility is on them to be very clear about that.
Right.
You know, in a situation like this, it is trickier for the reasons you're saying, right? Like, women are scared that they're going to end up in a trunk, right? If they speak up, they could get killed.
Yeah.
In this case, I mean, Aziz is a powerful person, even, you know, in spite of who he is.
In spite of the fact that he probably doesn't feel powerful at all.
Right. And so, you know, I don't know if she's like, she's in the industry or anything like that, but like,
she was supposedly, I think she was just a big fan.
She was a photographer or something,
right?
She was
a fan, but she was a big fan of him.
Okay.
Like, she approached him.
Okay.
And was a fan of his.
Okay, well.
Not that that makes a difference.
Only in as far as like, upsetting this person could have consequences in her, whatever she's pursuing. That is a factor that might be happening,
sure.
So there's those layers there. I don't think it absolves her from speaking up. I have to look at the article again to be more clear on
the moment
where it seemed like she was giving cues that he didn't. I don't think he was a like intentionally bad for not picking
him up.
But I think a good guy, somebody who's actively good, would have paused enough to be like, "Hey, is everything okay?"
Lincoln, we're putting a moral
standard
on it.
Oh, I'm happy to do that.
When I get you,
yeah.
But what I would so doing this show for 9 years, mm-hmm. More often than not, people don't have the emotional, intellectual, or acuity to even read those signals.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
What, yeah.
But I don't think that absolves them from the consequences of not having it, right? Because just because I'm not emotionally aware,
right,
doesn't mean if I'm being a dick to people and I'm not emotionally aware that I'm not responsible for my actions.
That's
right?
Fair enough. Yeah. That's a good point. But I also think you already said it. You're not absolving her responsibility to be clear.
Yeah.
She needs to be clear.
Yeah.
And I think that women are more empowered to be clear now because of this, mm-hmm. and men are more, because the culture has changed.
Yeah.
But in order for the culture to change, there had to be consequences for the culture to change.
Yeah.
I use this analogy all the time. You go to L.A., people jaywalk.
Mm-hmm.
People don't jaywalk, my bad. Mm-hmm. People don't jaywalk.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't jaywalk because you can get a ticket jaywalking. When you come to New York, if you don't jaywalk, you can get cursed out for not moving quick enough.
Yeah.
Now, but if you're in L.A., there's more social pressure for you not to jaywalk than it is even that you'll get the ticket.
So here's a question, and I know we're getting close on the time.
No, we're going to go beyond.
Okay.
We're going to do some more stuff on
Patreon.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah. So we can continue. Because
you said this with your friend who you're like, deep down, he's a scumbag.
Right.
But because he's in the fraternity, he's imposed in the system
and
then behaves.
And the agency makes him act.
Agency makes him way this
yes.
way. Right. And then in this case, a similar thing happening, right? People want to jaywalk, but there's this agency, social pressure, plus the consequence of getting the ticket that's leading them to not jaywalk.
Right.
Right? But in the case of the scumbag,
yeah.
you're like, at his core, though, this dude's a scumbag.
Yes.
But for the imposition of this system.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
In the other case, you're like, oh, people are malleable based on the consequences.
Yes.
And it's not that they are inherently wanting to cross. It's just whatever it is, the system that they're put in, right?
Yes, yes.
So what is the difference? Because do you think people have some innate, like, if they're a bad dude, they are inherently a bad dude, but for a system that they're placed in? Or is everybody pretty much just an open, malleable body?
I think that's a good question, but I think I think it's situational. I am highly.
How many people are still getting caught up in doing some of that shit? It's not as much as it used to be, but whether it's Me Too stuff or racist behavior, or even people getting dressed in blackface,
there really hasn't been consequence for that. For
that's
blackface
true,
and racism, it's just, dudes are
well,
still.
There's been somebody that takes a long time for that to
right,
really
but
set
we're talking.
In.
Yeah. This is why I say to you all the time when you talk about racism and police brutality and stuff like that, we're starting
which side
to
of that
see.
Are you on against?
Huh? Again?
Which side are you on?
It's a nuance.
Oh, okay.
what's happening now is police officers are being held responsible,
uh-huh.
and police officers who are witnessing. There's some states that have, like, if this happens and on your watch, you are as responsible for it at all. So what they're doing, what's happening very slowly, is the social construct is changing.
Right.
But you're talking about 3 years easy of more black bodies dead in the street before this. Let's think about how long it took for the Me Too movement to where we're literally going in a situation where people who would normally not, like, for instance, Aziz will never get in this situation again.
Mm-hmm.
And even dudes who are not as aggressive Aziz-like,
mm-hmm.
because of that story,
mm-hmm.
dudes are careful. They're more hypersensitive. They're reading these cues, which the culture has changed because of the consequence. And I think that in some play, in some situations, there were guys who got caught up who maybe shouldn't have gotten caught up, because when the pendulum swings, it swings to the extreme. People get swept up in it who maybe shouldn't have been swept up in it. Mm-hmm. People who should have gotten swept, they get swept up in it too, but the abuse is never scalpel-like. The abuse is never perpetuated in a sniper like way. So the correction of the mistake is usually an overcorrection, and then it swings back to the middle where we start to go, okay, we can have these conversations. Do you feel what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. I guess the broader question I still had though was this thing of like, are people the way they are? It's born, it's whatever it is, and then you can kind of like put them in a system, and then they'll behave according to the system.
I think some do, and some don't. Mm. And there's a gray area every way between. Some people are a little more sensitive. I say this all the time. I'm 55 years old. I grew up 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s hip hop. Mm-hmm. There's no way you could grow up hip-hop and no way you can grow up 80s, 90s in hip-hop and not have some level of homophobia. Listening to me, it's just what it was. Uh-huh. But it was my, I want to be a righteous dude. Mm-hmm. And so I asked people who were oppressed, what is this you're feeling? And I tried to make an effort to turn it around, which... what would I feel like if I was in this? To have the empathy, mm-hmm, to put myself in somebody else's place. So you hear this a lot of times with dudes, and they go, they'll go, I don't care about your pronouns. Mm-hmm. And I would go, well, what's your name? Dude says, Dave. He says, yeah, well, I'm not going to call you Dave. I'm going to call you Michael. And you go, why would you do that? Because I want to call you Mike. I don't give a fuck about your name. Mm-hmm. It's just disrespectful. Mm-hmm. It's disrespectful for me. If you want to be called Dave, if you want to be called David instead of Dave, if I have any civility and respect for you, why wouldn't I grant that? To the same token, David can't expect me to know that his name is David if I haven't asked him what his name is. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
If I call him, hey, Chief, and he goes, I don't like being called Chief. My name is David. I go, sure, I'll call you that. Like, the malleability, the civility of wanting to learn, wanting to be progressive, we will always have, imperfect allies. And the intent of somebody wanting to be civil and civil and credible and authentic and generous and empathetic. If I think there are people that are like that, and I think there are people that are going, look, I ain't gonna say shit. You know, you can't say nothing to me. How often you hear that? I can't say nothing to women. That's just not true. If your intention comes with empathetic and some, and you're willing to listen, then you can. Mm-hmm. But there's also a situation where everybody's not able to. They don't have that emotional acuity to do that as well. But when you're compelling people with a culture and a consequence and empathy, I think then the culture changes and then the whole thing changes. And you're still going to have fringe motherfuckers that just don't get it. But as a most, I mean, some people want to be righteous. Some people are righteous because there's consequences. Some people are righteous because of consequences. And then they start to, because of the practice, they become more empathetic because of it. Oh, I didn't even really see that way. There's things I think that we all would never say today that we, or do that we would have done 5 years ago,
yeah,
even 10 years ago. And, yeah, and the progression of human beings, I think. So to kind of say people are this or people are not that, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a sliding scale.
Yeah, no, I'm a big believer in people behave the way they are based on the system you put them in.
Sure.
So, like, in college, one of, like, the big theories in like, social psychology is this, like, the first thing they teach you is, like, the fundamental theory of misattribution, where people are very quick to attribute somebody's behavior to their personality. So, let's say a waitress is rude to you. You're like, oh, she's a rude person.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than to consider what has happened during that day that would lead her to behave
sure.
that way, and
absolutely.
Maybe that
sure.
isn't her actual personality. But I feel like one of the problems we have in society a lot of times is we're so quick to be like, hey, this is this person's personality trait
right.
that we don't look at the systems, and then we dismiss them accordingly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pump your stuff. We're going to do something behind the scenes.
Sure.
Whatever you want to, your website.
Yeah. My website, my Instagram, @AlinganMitra. My website is also alinganmitra.com, but if that's tricky, you can go to tiktokcomic.com,
dope.
And that'll direct you there. And then my TikTok is also @AlinganMitra.
Dope. Harry.
All my stuff is @HarryTurjanian. Just follow me on my social media.
Google
slide
me, y'all.
Into his DMs.
Google me.
Slide in my DMs. Well, not anymore. You know what? Yeah, why not?
He won't pick up on it.
I won't pick up on it. Maybe my chick will be into it. Ladies, slide into my DMs. Go for it. See if my
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all. Also, if you need a one-on-one consultation, you can get me at DanteNero.com. Click on consult, and you can talk to me directly. We are out. We're going to go back to the Patreon and do something behind the Patreon.
That's right. Join
Don't forget
us on
to
Patreon,
shine up
everybody.
For the Patreon. It's manschool202.
No, it's
Patreon.com/manschool202. We are out.